Ficatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ficatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are swapping the conference room for the High Peaks, definitely throwing caution to the wind a bit, and plunging into a legendary 1950s adventure.
We are indeed. We're looking at Eric Newby's classic, A Short Walk in the Hindu Kush.
Such a great title.
Isn't it? And this book, well, it's way more than just an old travelogue about Afghanistan. It's like foundational for modern travel writing. It really flipped the script on what adventure even is.
How so?
Well, it's funny. For one thing, genuinely humorous. And it sort of dismantles that whole heroic explorer narrative. It suggests the real value isn't in planting a flag, you know?
Yeah.
It's in the chaos, the struggle, the humility you find along the way.
I love that. Okay, so our mission for you listening in is to figure out how Newby, this guy whose day job was selling high-end fashion in London, right?
Exactly. Couture in the West End. Very sophisticated.
How he traded all that for freezing cold mountains. We want to unpack the mindset that lets a totally unprepared amateur tackle, well, maybe succeed, maybe gloriously fail, when faced with real adversity.
And that amateur part is just crucial. Eric Newby, born 1919, died 2006. His background couldn't be further from, like, serious mountaineering.
Yeah.
Running a women's clothing business. It's almost comical.
Right.
So when he decides to head off to the Hindu Kush in 56, he's the definition of a fish out of water. A complete outsider.
And I think that's why it works so well, why people still read it. His authority isn't about skill. He's relatable. He's the everyman.
Really?
It kind of proves you don't need to be, I don't know, some super experienced explorer to feel that urge to just escape and to actually do something about it.
Although we should probably mention he wasn't totally inexperienced when it came to hardship itself.
Ah, right. The war experience.
Yeah, he was a POW in Italy during World War II.
Yeah.
That definitely builds resilience, maybe gives you a certain philosophical edge about suffering. You know?
Sure, endurance, but not how to use an ice axe.
Exactly. Resilience isn't technical climbing skill. He had basically zero experience on peaks anywhere near, 20,000 feet.
Wow.
And his writing style reflects that. It's witty, very self-deprecating, quite educated, but it lets him capture that genuine wonder. That profound humility you only get when you're completely, utterly out of your depth.
And that lack of expertise makes the start of the whole thing just brilliant. Apparently, Newby was just bored, fed up with comfortable, predictable modern life.
Sounds familiar.
Right. And that restlessness somehow boiled down to this single, amazing, beautifully reckless telegram he sent to his friend, Hugh Carless. Carless was a diplomat, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And the telegram just said, "Can you travel Nuristan June?" That's it.
So abrupt. And Carlos's reply was just as short. Yes. And boom, that's it. The whole wonderfully ill-fated journey is set in motion.
Incredible.
So the basic story is the book covers their 1956 expedition. They're heading to this super remote Nuristan region, northeastern Afghanistan. And the target is this huge peak, Mir Samir, 19,880 feet.
Okay, but you called it ill-fated. And we talked about chaos and bad gear. So why do we call it a glorious failure? Isn't just relying on adaptability, well, kind of dangerous. Is he actually saying people should just head off unprepared? Or is there something else going on?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's promoting recklessness, not really. He's more reframing what success even means on a trip like this.
Okay.
He argues the real value isn't planting the flag. It's not the perfect execution. It's found in the messy attempt. The human struggle, the friendships that get tested and strengthened.
I see.
So the fact they didn't quite reach the absolute highest point, that failure, in a way, just confirmed that the real achievement was the journey itself, what they went through together.
So the goal shifted, or maybe the real goal wasn't the summit all along. It was the shared experience, the challenge.
Exactly. And when you see it that way, these major themes just naturally emerge. You know, the clash between their sort of Western ideas of adventure and the realities on the ground in Central Asia.
Right.
The stress test on their friendship. And crucially, how they used humor. Humor as like an emotional survival tool.
Let's dive into that a bit more, starting with the preparations, or lack thereof. The gear you mentioned.
Oh, the gear was apparently hilariously unsuitable.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this is the guy used to find tailoring, not Gore-Tex.
Yeah.
And the absolute peak, or maybe the low point of their preparation, was this four-day training course in North Wales.
Which was a total disaster, wasn't it?
Utterly hopeless. They couldn't handle ropes, terrified of heights, just completely out of their element.
But Newby's honesty about it is what makes it great. He wrote that, okay, they weren't much better at climbing afterwards, but they were now intimately acquainted with our own incompetence.
Which is just brilliant self-awareness. That's the key to that whole amateur spirit, isn't it? Knowing your limits, but going anyway.
And that amateurism got tested right away, just getting there.
Oh, yeah. The overland drive. Through Turkey, Iran. It was just one thing after another. Constant mechanical problems with the car. Endless bureaucracy.
Sounds exhausting.
It was. But you know, those frustrations were actually early tests
yeah.
for them, for their friendship. They had to rely on each other way before they even saw Mountain.
And then Afghanistan, Kabul, the Panjshir Valley. This is where the sort of romantic dream meets harsh reality.
Totally. Trying to actually assemble the caravan, you know, find porters, pack animals, get supplies sorted. It just descended into chaos, pure chaos. Plus, they barely spoke the language.
Nightmare logistics.
Exactly. This is where newbie has that realization that maybe adventure often just means blisters, uncomfortable saddles, and monotonous food. Not scenic vistas all the time.
Huh. So true. Then the trek itself. Into Nuristan.
Yeah, and it's brutally beautiful terrain. But now the struggle is really physical. They're dealing with altitude sickness, the landscape is incredibly harsh, and it's becoming clearer and clearer their equipment just isn't up to scratch.
So newbie's just pushing through on willpower.
Pretty much. Relying on sheer determination more than any actual skill. It's quite inspiring in a way.
And the climb, the attempt on Mir Samir.
Genuinely grueling. They're facing ice, rock, terrible weather. They actually do manage to reach a subsidiary peak, which is honestly incredible for amateurs like them.
That's still a big achievement.
Huge. But ultimately, they're just exhausted. The conditions are too bad. They have to turn back just short of the main summit. And that's the moment of glorious failure.
They pushed their limits, learned about themselves, even without the final prize.
Precisely. They learned everything about themselves, about each other. The summit wasn't the point.
Okay, and then comes this encounter that everyone talks about. The meeting with Wilfred Thesiger.
Ah, yes. The defining moment, really. It's the comedic climax, but also deeply symbolic. It perfectly captures that whole amateur versus professional thing.
So they're coming out feeling rough but proud.
Exactly. Exhausted, battered, but they've done something. And then they stumble upon Wilfred Thesiger.
The legendary explorer, like the real deal.
The ultimate professional. The Thesiger traveled incredibly light, lived off the land, total minimalist, uncompromising. He represented everything they weren't.
And he sees their gear.
Oh, yeah. He takes one look at Newbie and Carlos's, frankly, pretty elaborate setup, all the stuff they'd hauled up there. And apparently, he particularly focused on their inflatable air mattresses.
Air mattresses in the Hindu Kush.
Can you imagine? It's the ultimate deflation, literally and figuratively. The Seeker's reaction wasn't loud or angry, just this quiet, withering disdain. It's all summed up in his incredulous question.
What did he say?
He just looked at them and asked, "You mean you've got a bloody airbed in Nuristan?"
Oh, that's brutal and hilarious.
It just perfectly skewers them. It crystallizes that whole contrast. Yeah. The person seeking adventure but still clinging to comfort versus the person who fully immerses themselves, accepts the hardship.
It's so relatable, though. We all have our metaphorical airbeds, don't we? Things we rely on to avoid discomfort, but maybe they just get in the way of the real experience. Gadgets, routines.
Absolutely. That scene is a perfect bridge to the core themes, the things that make this book still resonate so strongly. First off, that very idea, the celebration of the amateur spirit. The book really shows that passion, determination, just being mentally flexible, that's often worth more than cold, hard expertise.
Mm.
If you wait until you're perfect to start, you might never start.
That's such a good lesson for... well, anything. Starting a business, a new project, don't wait for perfection.
Exactly. Then theme two, humor as resilience, newbie's wit, that dry, self-deprecating style. It's how he copes.
It's a shield.
Totally. He shows us that, yeah, misery might suck at the time, but the story you get to tell afterwards, how you overcame it, that lasts. Humor helps you survive the absurdity, maybe especially the absurdities that expertise would have prevented in the first place. How do you use humor when things get ridiculous?
Good question. Okay, theme three.
Friendship forged in adversity.
Mm-hmm.
The stress, the shared vulnerability of that whole trip, it deepened the bond between Newbie and Carlos in a way just, you know, hanging out in London never could.
Makes sense. Real bonds often need some shared stress, some risk.
I think so. And the final theme, which feels really poignant today, the book is a portrait of a vanished world.
Yes. Afghanistan in the 50s.
Exactly. It's a time capsule of the Hindu Kush in 1956, a time of relative peace, when places like Nuristan were actually accessible to travelers like them. Reading it now, knowing what came later, it adds this layer of deep sadness, actually. That world is largely gone.
Yeah, that adds a whole other dimension. The book's full of memorable lines, too, isn't it? Little nuggets of wisdom.
Definitely. Newbie could really turn a phrase beyond the famous telegrams, which capture that impulsiveness.
That's just iconic.
I always think about his philosophy on travel itself.
You mean the line about walking?
Yes. The only way to see a country properly is on foot. It's such a simple idea, but quite profound. It's a critique of insulating yourself, right? With cars, with technology. Mm-hmm. He's arguing for actually engaging, being present in the place you're exploring.
Showing up fully. I like that.
And my personal favorite is about finding clarity in the struggle. He often contrasts the kind of overwhelming complexity of modern life back on the plains, as he calls it.
Right, all the choices, the noise.
With the absolute simple, singular purpose you find in the mountains, which is ultimately just to lift one foot after another.
That focus, that single goal, it strips everything else away.
Exactly. It grounds you when everything else feels chaotic. It's about pure momentum.
We all crave that sometimes, that clarity. And what about the unexpected things you learn?
Yeah, that lovely thought. The best journeys answer questions you never thought to ask.
Mm.
True exploration isn't about confirming what you already know. It's about stumbling onto new truths. The world and about yourself.
Which leads us nicely into how we can maybe apply some of this today in our own perhaps less mountainous lives.
Right. Practical takeaways. So tip one, straight from the title almost, embrace the glorious failure.
Okay.
If you're tackling a big project, maybe changing careers, whatever,
yeah.
Don't get hung up on needing it to be perfect right out of the gate. The real value often comes from the messy attempt. The learning happens when it's not flawless.
It's a great antidote to, like, online perfectionism, isn't it? Where everything looks effortless.
Totally. Okay, tip two, channeling that Thesiger moment. Question your essential gear.
Ditch the airbed.
Metaphorically speaking, yes. Take a look at what you rely on. Is it too much tech? Overcomplicated routines? Comfort blankets? Ask yourself, are my essentials actually making me soft? Are they stopping me from being adaptable when I need to be?
Ooh, provocative. Okay, final tip.
Goes right back to the beginning.
Yeah.
That telegram. Say yes to spontaneity.
Just do it.
Well, maybe not quite as recklessly. But don't let routine kill your curiosity. You don't need a 20,000-foot peak. Just take small steps outside your comfort zone. Micro-adventures, maybe. Things that force you rely on yourself, on your adaptability, not just your usual skills or plans. Keep life feeling vibrant.
I really like that. For me, what really stands out from revisiting this book is its newbie's honesty. The fact that the amateur, the person you'd think was least qualified, actually gives us the most resonant account of what human endurance is really about.
Yeah.
His willingness to admit he was scared or incompetent, it makes the eventual achievement just surviving, keeping the friendship intact, feel so much more earned, so much more meaningful than some, you know, effortless conquest by an expert.
It absolutely flips the script on heroism. And I think the book's deeper argument is that we need challenge. The human spirit requires it to grow. Too much comfort can actually become a kind of prison.
Hmm.
So maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. When was the last time you deliberately put yourself in a situation, big or small, where you had to rely purely on your adaptability, your wits, rather than falling back on your comfortable expertise?
Food for thought. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.